Are you there, Jeff, sir?
Hi, Kerry. Yes, I'm here.
I'd like to hear it. Now then, I do believe we're talking to you down west of Swansea, indeed.
Yep, I'm in Kittle on the Gower, and it looks stunning today.
Ah, well, you know, there'll be a lot of people that will be very jealous, no doubt, of the view that you have out of your window as we speak. But thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me this morning, and joining me to talk about two different books. We're going to be talking in due course about your book, Floating Worlds, but also your wife Leslie's book, which is called A Change in the Air, and that's air spelled A-I. R-E. So without too much further ado, please just, you know, give us a little bit of background info on both yourself, Jeff, and Leslie, and how it was that you came to pen these two books.
Well, my life was a bit checkered. My father worked for the government, and we moved around the world every 3 years. We were constantly changing schools and stuff like that. So when I finally came to Swansea, I just fell in love with the Gower and thought, I'm happy here. And it's been 40 years since I've been here.
40 years, wow.
Yeah, and Leslie was born in Swansea, so she never moved out of her house for many, many years and went to Aber University. And then we ended up meeting. I taught her to snowboard and we became an item.
So that was the connection then, snowboarding.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Wow. Right. And yeah. And was that where actually physically was that in Swansea then? Where in Swansea do you get the chance
Swansea,
to some
Swansea ski slope?
Ah.
By the Morva.
Yes.
Which is gone now, but it was a great place in its time.
I got you. Yeah. So that brought you together, and you've been together for how many years now?
Oh, now you've got me.
Nah, see, more than you care to remember, quite clearly. So, I mean, put you on the spot there, I have. So I can see I better try and get you out of that one quick before before Leslie comes in and gives you a whacker with the back of the head. All right, so tell me a little bit then about how it was that your interest in snowboarding and then likewise this you know, thing about the I call them mobile homes because I'm of a certain age, unfortunately, Jeff, that tends to be the title. But tell me how the idea of putting the books together came about.
Well, we'd run a dog business for quite a while. It was one of the first day creches in Wales, we think.
Right.
For about 10 years. And it was hard work. And Leslie was keen to get away from it, have a break or something. And we played about with ideas, and then we found that we could lease it to someone, or they were interested in buying it but couldn't afford it.
Right.
So we leased the business to them, and we could buy a motorhome.
Yes.
And just go.
Right.
Yeah, it was one of those things where she started to keep mentioning it, and the idea sunk in, and I thought, okay, let's do it, you know.
And so when you say just go, that was the idea then of sort of going off on adventures?
Yes, that was it.
Wow, what a lucky couple to be able to do that. So how long ago are we talking about with that, Jeff?
Well, this was 2016.
Right.
We'd had a boy. He was then 3.5 years old, Jackson.
Jackson, yes.
Yeah, and it was perfect timing with schooling. And
Right.
So things fell into place a little bit.
And as things so often do in life. So did you sort of set off absolutely open-ended and just thought, well, this journey will take as long as it takes?
Yes. There was a sort of about a year plan.
Right, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So where did you make your first port of call?
The Champagne region.
Well, there we are. There's a good place to start, really. Yes,
why not? And it was winter, and you know the place was dead quiet. And the local mayor came out and helped us because we parked in an air.
Right.
Got us water because the machine wasn't working, and there weren't usually tourists there that time of year.
Right.
and invited us down to the bar in the night, and that, you know, things just started to happen.
Well, I suppose a great way of meeting new people, as we said, having adventures left, right and centre. And absolutely, though, becoming one with the road and the countryside and, you know, great, really, if you haven't got to keep looking at your watch all the time.
Exactly, yeah. It is the freedom is what probably one of the key things with motorhoming. I think secondly is meeting people.
Yes.
Of all nationalities. And then access to places you perhaps want to see, but you couldn't afford to in the normal way. You know, hotels.
Yeah,
and
no, understood. With all of those expenses taken out of the way, other than, as you say, your petrol and your food, you were kings of the road, really, weren't you?
Yeah, because our next stop was Paris, which was a campsite in Paris.
Right.
Which was €17 a night.
Hmm.
You know, for three people to stay in Paris.
And that's more like it, isn't it? That is more like it, yeah. Wow. So, obviously, on that journey, from what I understand, you literally sort of started, as you've just said now, in sort of France, over in the western side of Europe, and you pretty much made your way right through. And was it Croatia that you actually ended up in before you turned round and came back again?
That's right, yeah. The furthest we went was Croatia.
Right, wow. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, lots of adventures along the way, and it would be no doubt the case that some of those will feature in the book then that's been put together by Leslie, which is called A Change in the Air, would I be right?
That's correct, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of things happen, obviously, on the road.
Yes, yes.
Some funny, some very stressful, but when you look back, they're the funniest instance, really. For example, Paris, we went there to see Disneyland and the Eiffel Tower, you know.
Yes, of course.
But when we left the campsite, our wonderful sat-nav took us down a road about six lanes, and part of the road went under a tunnel.
Oh.
Well, I'm looking everywhere at the traffic. And as we drove down the tunnel, there was this almighty noise. We hit these hanging, I don't know what you call them, things that hang down to warn you of
to
your
warn
height.
You about the height, right? So yeah. The fact that you were hitting them then, not a good sign, really, Jeff.
No. I put the brakes on, and we had to reverse in the Paris traffic.
Oh
in a
dear!
GB on the back.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You can imagine that, can't you?
Well, I can imagine you being saluted by many French people, particularly the Parisians, obviously, who are so forgiving on these sorts of things, and particularly to the Brits. Wow, right. But you obviously got out of it in one piece in the end.
Yes, yeah.
And you didn't take the top off the motorhome, which is a good thing.
Well, we drove south, and within about 6 hours it had rained heavy. And Leslie went in the back of the van and said, screamed, there's water on the bed. We'd lost the sunroof at one of the skylights.
Oh, the skylight, right, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Although she had walked back to check for any damage earlier, it was clear. So
hadn't really spotted that.
Yeah.
Got you. So now, just tell me a little bit about why it was Leslie thought this would be a good shout now then to write a book about all of the exploits of your journey through Europe and sort of finding yourself, as it were, you know, over the year that you were away.
It was a slow process. Firstly, she did a blog when we were travelling. And to a few friends, but they used to be screaming, laughing, and mainly at me, I think.
Right.
And, you know, it was, they would look forward to the next edition of the blog.
Yeah, so, right.
That was one thing. But then I started my book before her, much later.
Yeah.
And then obviously the cliche COVID hit. I could finish my book. Leslie had time to put it down then, and to
right.
Partly as something for Jackson to remember the trip by.
Well, I suppose that's a lovely idea because, I mean, clearly, as a little 'un, what a wonderful experience. And he must have learned so much through going to any number of different countries, talking to children in some of those countries, watching them play, getting involved with play with them. What a wonderful learning experience.
Yes, he became an extrovert through it. He really enjoyed going to a campsite and he'd look around and say, "Kids."
Yeah.
And he'd go, open the door, let him out, and he'd run to these kids that couldn't speak his language.
No, no.
And start, they would just play. And it was amazing to watch. You know?
Mm.
They didn't need to talk. They just played. They could get what each other wanted to do.
Well, that's what kids do, don't they? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you've just said, what a wonderful gift to have given your son and to have made him, as you say, in a way, become an extrovert at a young age, because clearly that is going to just hold him in so much good stead, isn't it, in the future?
Yes. He learned. We taught him basics and counting and, you know, please, thank you, how to get the bill every language.
Excellent.
In every language.
Yeah.
So we'd sit in a restaurant and say, "Oh, can go and get the bill, Jackson," and he'd walk over and say, and they loved it because he'd speak their language.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
And of course he learnt from it as well.
Indeed. So all of these sorts of stories and recollections are in the book A Change in the Air, which Leslie has put together.
Yes.
And do you think that from Leslie's point of view, this is the start of a writing career, or was it just something that she wanted to do, you know, to obviously tell the stories again that she had recounted to so many people, but to put them down in book form very much, as you say, initially for Jackson? But has it given her the bug maybe to do more?
I think it's made her more confident to put in a position where she would do something else.
Right.
It is obviously hard work, and you need that time gap, you know, where you can sit down quietly.
Oh, absolutely you do. No, absolutely you do. And, of course, that's not so easy when you've got a little one running around, though obviously now not quite so little. Because age is Jackson now?
10 years old.
Oh, he's 10 now.
He's really into his football and swimming, karate, you know.
Lots of taxi services needed then to get him to different places. Right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I have G'd her up to write a book on the, we called the business we had, Centre Barks, which was
Centre
the dog day crash.
Clever stuff.
And we've got 100 stories from there. You know,
right.
That were just crazy. But she hasn't taken the bait yet.
Not yet. Okay, fair enough. So, Jeff, we've just touched on the fact earlier that snowboarding and indeed surfing has been something which has been a passion of yours. So let's just take the opportunity just to have a little chat then about the book that you have done, likewise with Candy Jar, which is called Floating World. So give us a little bit about what that's all about.
Yeah, Floating World came about because I was involved in the early days of snowboarding in the UK.
Right.
I wrote the first manual for teaching on dry slopes for snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And we formed a British Snowboard Association, which developed around the country. All the little pockets of people that were dabbling, we were making homemade boards, you know, came from skateboard backgrounds or surfing, skiing.
Yes.
And we all sort of finally linked together. We'd all been developing in our little pockets, you know.
Right. So what sort of period of time are we talking about? How many years ago would this have been?
Well, my book is really from the 70s to 2000.
Okay, yes.
Snowboarding, the big year where it took off in this country was 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So the 80s were really the beginning for it in the UK. In America, it was really the late 60s, early 70s was where it started.
Right. And in the case of the UK then, clearly, initially, there really weren't many facilities around. But, I mean, ski slopes, I mean, I know we've had one here in Cardiff for many years, and obviously you mentioned the one there in Morver in Swansea. I mean, how did people manage if they didn't have those sorts of facilities near at hand?
Well, I use Brecon Beacons, so I used to walk up Penavan with a homemade board
for
many years, and I still do, funnily enough. I've never stopped. It's such a wonderful thing to do.
Yes.
And there's more and more people do it up there. I see people on skis and snowboards. So you can go when there's snow.
Of course,
You could use sand dunes, but you don't want to destroy any environmental
stuff,
you know.
Fair point.
But they're not very good either. But now we've got indoor snow slopes around the country.
Yes.
It's made it a lot easier, really.
And clearly, from what you're saying then, I mean, from humble beginnings, it's become a really big business for people.
It has, yeah. We watched the change from what we would have said the good old days.
Yeah.
To the commercialization of it in the 90s, sort of 95 onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously commercialized. Now, one of the big things about the book I've put in it, there's a lot of layers to this book. One is the politics. There's a couple of chapters on that, which I got involved in. And the ski bodies in the beginning didn't want to know anything about snowboarding, and they derided it. And there'll be T-shirts with things on about us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but when they realized it was not going away, it was going to be big, they obviously wanted a bit of the action.
Well, I suppose that's human nature, isn't it? Initially, as you say, being very sceptical or indeed very anti the idea, because clearly skiing, for a lot of people, has become very much, or was very much initially, the preserve of those who had more than a few bob in their pockets.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Whereas I suppose it's a different thing though with snowboarding, and I mean maybe they thought this looks just a very populist thing, and it's not really what we want to be associated with.
Yes, that was right. And with snowboarding, obviously the culture of surfing and skateboarding was integrated in.
Right.
It?
Yes. Yes.
Which sort of clashed a little bit with, as you say, the many people of skiing.
And you'd come also from a bit of a surfing background as well. That was something you'd enjoyed?
Yes, yeah. That the book explains how surfing led me to snowboarding.
I see.
And
right.
It's quite a bit about the Gower surfing scene in the 70s.
Yeah, yes. Fabulous part of the world for it.
Yeah, amazing and still amazing, yes.
Well, it sounds to me, Jeff, as though between you and Leslie, you've got a couple of books here that are clearly going to be well worth reading for people. And I mean, having asked you the question about whether Leslie then thinks she has another book in her, what about your good self, Jeff? Is there something that you're thinking of moving on to?
Not strongly. I do write a little bit of poetry.
Right.
I just dabble here and there. But
there we are.
I'm not. I wouldn't call myself a writer, really.
No. But I mean,
like you say, sometimes you've got something inside you want to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what the case for me, really.
Understood. So just tell us a little bit about the two books with regards to release dates. Both are now available. Yes.
Yeah. Both are now available. Yeah. Leslie's has sold pretty well, especially in the motorhome community.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. You know, so she's sold it quite across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is a bit more specialised, so snowboarders have been buying it first and surfers.
Yes. Well, there we are. It all sounds like two interesting books. So we're talking A Change in the Air, and Air spelt A-I-R-E, by Leslie Parr, and your book Floating Worlds, obviously by your good self, Jeff. That's Jeff G-E-O-F-F Parr, P-A-R-R. And Candy Jar, our friends here in Newport Road in Cardiff, they are the people who have published the books. So we give them a big thumbs up, as always. And
They've been very, very helpful.
Well, I'm not surprised. Sean and his team certainly do some very, very good work. One question to ask you, Jeff, is there a Facebook page or any social media pages that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, Leslie's got a Facebook page called A Change in the Air.
Right.
And I've also got a Facebook page called Floating Worlds.
Spot on. So easy enough for people to find.
Yeah, I've got a website which contains a lot of photos from the early days of snowboarding.
Right, okay. So what's the details of that, Jeff?
That's www.floatingworlds.info.
There we are. Simple, simple, simple. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the programme today to chat about your book and also Leslie's book. I'll give them a mention again in the last half hour of the programme. So if people didn't get any of that information, hopefully we can let them have it again. But thank you so much for talking to me. And obviously, fingers crossed that the books continue to do very well for the communities which they serve.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for joining me.